right in their hearts. So, Lord, we just thank you for the Holy Spirit working in our life. We thank you for the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. We thank you for your presence in our life. We just thank you for Christ. Amen. Just thank the Lord for who He is. Amen. And the reality of who He is in our life. In Jesus' name, amen. So today I want to just talk with you about the power of our words. The power of our words. The Bible says that the tongue has the power of life and death. And I want to look at three areas. Number one, the power of our words in our praising the Lord. First of all, we're to praise the Lord and be ministers unto the Lord. Secondly, the power of our words in our personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And thirdly, of course, the power of our words toward others and encouraging others. But the power of our words, first of all, is the fact that we've been called to be for the praise of His glory. Amen. And as we saw today, we saw the power of our words in praising Jesus Christ. We saw just an overflow of inspiration that took place. How did that inspiration take place? How did that inspiration come into being? How did we have that prophetic word that was given us to pray over Pastor Rick and to march around this room seven times, to march around Pastor Rick seven times and pray over him? Well, it started with the fact that we were committed to praising the Lord. The Bible says that we're to bring a sacrifice of praise unto the Lord. And sometimes it feels like a sacrifice. We may not come in here on a Sunday morning feeling like worshiping the Lord. Perhaps we're tired. I talked with an individual before church this week, and she had had really a terrible week. But as we, no matter what is happening in our life, as we come before Him and simply as a matter of our will, decide, I am going to praise the Lord. Amen. We saw that song that says, I will yet praise Him. Still, I will praise Him. The Bible says, nevertheless, I will yet praise Him. And so there is power when we simply remember that we have been created for the express purpose to praise the Lord. And because you all did that this morning, you all started praising Him out of obedience and praising Him with a whole heart, we become the corporate habitation of His presence. All right? We enter His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise, and we bring that sacrifice of praise. It may feel like a sacrifice at first. Maybe you don't feel like praising Him at first because things are going on in your life, but you bring that sacrifice to Him. And the Lord inhabits our praises. And there's also an extra dynamic when we come together as a congregation. We become the corporate habitation of His presence. And that's exactly what took place today. We became the corporate habitation of His presence. Even before we received that word. Who here can speak that we didn't have the inspiration of the Holy Spirit in our midst today? I was inspired. I know I was inspired. I know, where's Betty? I know Betty was inspired. Betty came up here and I said, who's yelling back there? And I turned around and it was Betty. All right, Betty, every once in a while gets, she's baptized in the Holy Spirit for good, but every once in a while she just gets beside herself and she just starts praising the Lord. And she just gets filled with the unction of the Holy Spirit. And she was inspired. All right, I know, raise your hand if you were inspired this morning to praise the Lord. All right, there was inspiration taking place, and we were inspired to praise Him. And so, number one, our priority with our words is to minister unto Jesus Christ, that we have been created for the praise of His glory. We've been created to minister to Him. And that really, again, gets our focus off ourselves and upon Jesus Christ. One of the simplest things you can do is to simply, if you don't know anything else to do, is just say, thank you, Lord. thank you, Lord. Sometimes my students write thank you as one word, and I have to remind them to put a space between thank and you. I was going to say two words, but no, it's three words. Just three words. Thank you, Lord. If you can't remember to say anything else out of your mouth as you're going through your day, and remember, we've been created to be the praise of His glory, not just on Sunday morning, but as the purpose of our life. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Secondly, our words have power, and our tongue has the power of life and death through just the fact in our personal relationship with Jesus Christ. I was going through I had a particular focus on Friday, just this past Friday, and the Lord gave me a word in the morning to just, the Lord usually, I seek the Lord's direction for a word from Him to just confess over my life and my personal relationship with the Lord every day. As part of my morning devotions, I ask, okay, I just have this sense, okay, where I'm just waiting on the Lord as to what He wants me to be saying throughout the day to help me get the right focus going into my day and to have just a right perspective on the day, a positive, faith-filled perspective in the Lord. And He just gave me, thank you, Lord, for the victory. Thank you, Lord, for the victory. And I remember there was a few times during the day on Friday in which I was tempted to get discouraged, tempted to start wondering whether I had the victory, start wondering whether we would be defeated. And I remember that that the Lord gave me that word in the morning. Thank you, Lord, for the victory. Thank you, Lord, for the victory. And what it did, it kept my mind in the right place. It kept my mind in the right focus. It helped me not to start wondering this or that. It helped me to not start fearing defeat or start fearing, here we go again. You know, this is going to happen again. Here we go again, this kind of thing. All right, where we, because of maybe past experiences that we've had, we start fearing that it's going to happen again. Or sometimes that dreadful feeling that we can sometimes get that the enemy attacks us with, that dread and a loss of hope and despair and what's going to happen and here we go again kind of attitude or perspective. But Lord, thank you for the victory. Thank you for the victory. And it kept my mind in the right place. The battle for us Christians is in the mind. And God calls us to understand that you know, He has won the victory. He has won the victory in the cross. But every day we have to appropriate that victory in the battle of the mind. Amen. And so we have to keep, the Bible says, he who keeps his mind stayed on Christ will be in perfect peace. Because he is at my right hand, I will not be shaken. And so we have to, the Bible says, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. And so sometimes to get our mind in the right place, we have to speak. Even if there's nothing else we can think of, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for the victory. And then just expand from there. Thank you, Lord, that you're present. Thank you, Lord, that you're always present and never absent. Thank you, Lord God, that I don't live in fear, but I live in faith. Thank you, Lord God, that you are with me. Thank you, Lord God, that you have given me the Holy Spirit, which is in me as a guarantee that for my assurance of salvation. Thank you, Lord God, that my life as a Christian is not just up to me and my own efforts, but I have a deposit, I have a guarantee, I have inheritance. I have an inheritance through the Holy Spirit that abides within me. And so we thank the Lord for these things. Thank you, Lord God, that for faith, hope, and love, just again those intangible benefits that we have as Christians. Thank you, Lord God, that I am the righteousness of God in Jesus Christ. The Bible says, Jesus said that the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness, joy, and peace in the Holy Spirit. And so, thank you, Lord God, that I am the righteousness of God in Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord, that the joy of the Lord is my strength. Thank you, Lord God, that I have the peace that passes all understanding. And he will keep in perfect peace whose mind is stayed upon me. And so we're thanking him for these benefits that we have in our relationship in Jesus Christ. Thank him for the benefits of faith, hope, and love. Thank you, Lord God, that you've given me faith in you, Lord God. Thank you that I'm a prisoner of hope in the future. And thank you, Lord God, that you have given me love and compassion for other people. Amen. Faith, hope, and love. This is our life. Our life isn't, you know, our house or, you know, our cars or the kind of salary we make and so forth. Our life as a Christian, as a disciple of Christ, that we all have, that are ours, is we have righteousness, joy, and peace, and faith, hope, and love. And I'll take those things any day over a six-figure salary.
Amen.
All right? I want righteousness, joy, and peace over me, my marriage, my family. I want faith, hope, and love rising up in my kids. I want them to have the faith of God in their hearts. I want them to be living in hope, and I want them to have love for other people. These are the benefits that we have in the kingdom of God. And of course, that relates to the third focus in focusing on others and encouraging others. The gift of encouragement. The willingness to encourage someone else, to open up our mouths to encourage others. You know, we can do that simply by saying good morning. When I'm running down Montgomery Village Avenue and I say to someone, have a good day. All right. I'm thinking, have a God day. Have a God day. There's a relationship between good and God. And God is good. Have a good day.
Amen.
And just to start spreading words of life into the environment. Think of someone right now who you work with. Think of someone right now that you interact with on a daily basis. And just the atmosphere of that place. God wants to use us to infuse the atmosphere with life. And to say something as simply as good morning starts infusing the atmosphere with life. Have a good day. And of course, we can expand from there. But the Lord wants us in our homes, in our schools, in our classrooms, and good morning, Christopher. In our classrooms, in our places of work, whatever environment that we are in, He wants to use us to infuse life into those atmospheres. And the way that we impact the atmosphere, the way that we impact the environment, is through our words and using words of encouragement, words that bring life. That's very, very important. The Lord is kind of, you know, I'm kind of known as a disciplinarian, all right, with my principal's hat. And, you know, I'm a disciplinarian. Just, you know, being concerned about the discipline of the students and making sure that they're staying focused on what they're supposed to be doing. And it can be very easy for me to get critical. And, you know, I'm always giving push-ups and so forth. You know, 5 push-ups here, 10 push-ups there. You know, making sure that the students are staying focused. I talked with a teacher this past week, and he took me aside and he said, you know, I mean, in a way it's a good thing. I mean, it says something good, but in a way he was kind of going into a larger issue. He said, every time you walk into the classroom goes completely quiet. And they could be just, you know, he might be like working at his desk, maybe grading some things, and he's allowing them to talk a little bit. And, you know, I walk in and they're talking, and so and I walk into the classroom and everyone goes quiet. And then when I leave, they start talking again. And so, you know, we kind of realize they need to work on self-control. All right? Being self-controlled. And I don't want them to be Dr. Schweitzer controlled. All right? Dr. Spock, you know. All right? But to walk in self-control. All right? And you know, I can discipline students. But the Lord has recently encouraged me to put something at the top of my calendar. And if anyone knows me and looks has seen my calendar, you can see I got all this stuff on my calendar and so forth. But to put at the top of my calendar a smiley face and then the words R-E. I put a smiley face and the words R-E at the beginning of every day at the top of my calendar, just to remind me to smile. To remind me, and that R-E for me stands for relational encouragement. For relational encouragement. To just, you know, instead of, you know, giving a student push-ups, to just come up beside them and maybe put my arm around them. And just to encourage them. Relational encouragement. To grow in that capacity for myself to be an encourager. Of the students, and to be an encourager of the teachers, and to be an encourager of the parents and the people in my atmosphere, in our environment. Amen. And so, you know, I just want to encourage us, just like I'm trying to encourage me, to be encouragers of others, to speak those words of life to our spouse. You know, Proverbs says about the husband who speaks to his wife in Proverbs 31. Many women do noble things, but you surpass them all. Many women do noble things, but you surpass them all. A wise husband will give a lot of exclamations over his wife. Amen. To just be exclaiming about his wife and praising his wife. And that's a big thing with children too. We can criticize and criticize and criticize at the same time. And there are times when we need to bring correction, of course. But at the same time, when you see your child doing something well, praise, praise, praise. And that's a big way that we teach as parents, is that we praise and we encourage the things that we see when they do something well. Maybe then out of 10 events during the course of the day, 9 were wrong, but 1 were right. Well, if they did that one thing right, praise them really well for that one thing right. And then they'll see what you really want them to do. As a coach, I try to employ this practice. All right. On that layup, way to put the ball up soft off the square. All right, in the layup, you know, use the backboard, soft off the square, to praise what you want. To, when you see them actually doing what you want, give a lot of liberal praise for that. Those are those words of encouragement, those words of life. And of course, we can all infuse our atmosphere in this way. Does anybody have any words of testimony where you've seen how your words of life have impacted the environment that you're in? Words of life. We typically don't do this as part of a message, but...
One time I was playing basketball over at the gym over there at LA Fitness, and the ball went out on me, and the guy said, the ball was out on you? I said, yeah, the ball was out on me. The guy on my team was like, I said, what? He's like, you don't give away the ball. You know, I said, is that that serious? Let's just go ahead and play. And he just looked at me like, that was just so strange to say,
hey. Well, it's interesting that you bring that up. We had a very tough game on Friday afternoon, and I was proud of the guys. They got a signature victory. Caleb scored 13 points and did a good job. And we ended up winning the game. But in the first half, it was right in the sideline right there. And the ball went out of bounds. And the referee, he was a little bit hesitant, but he said it was our ball. But it was clearly out on us. And I told the referee, you know, that was out on us. It's their ball. But then later on at halftime, Caleb brought up something to me about what another player was doing that was kind of like, you know, leaning into him and so forth. And we went over and talked with the referee, and I felt there was some credibility there, you know, because of, you know, we had sought to be honest and so forth. And the referee received what Caleb was saying and was going to be looking for that. And, you know, it's John Maxwell calls it the law of solid ground. You know, you can't go wrong with the law of solid ground when you're walking in that kind of truth and integrity. You might not get the ball in that instance, but in the long run, you're walking on solid ground. Anyone else? Ruth.
I was at Holy Cross, and I was at like the cancer person coming towards me. I would greet them, hello, how are you, good morning, whatever. And I would do that with everybody. And after, I guess, about 4 or 5 years of me doing that, they then sent a memo around, an email around, that everybody should be greeting the person coming towards
them. Everyone clap. That's awesome. That is impacting your environment, because you are doing something as simple as that. Now you're influencing the whole environment, and that's being salt and light. That's being salt and light. Bob?
I recently heard from my brother for the first time in 20 years, and had a conversation. He wasn't entirely coherent. When we were growing up, I had to be the father figure for him, and there was contention between us. There was a lot of, Ed, why don't you do this, why don't you do that, sort of thing. But after all these years, he said he was trying to get an associate's degree at the community college where he lives. And to tell me about some of the struggles he's had, I said, well, maybe that's not where you should be going. But I said, I said to him, I'm proud of you for at least trying. Here's a man who's 57 years old, trying to get better himself in an education. And I'm not sure if he's going the right route for him. But rather than be critical of that and say, well, you should be trying something else, I'd say, Ed, I'm proud of you that you're making this effort to do that.
Amen. Amen.
Thank you.
Give me a lot of strength.
Amen.
Amen. Is that Brandon Justia?
Absolutely.
Shania told me one time that they were at the grocery store, and one of the things that we do try to teach our children, although we try to be hesitant sometimes, but say hello to everyone, because that can kind of go wrong in some time. But they're always greeting everyone when they go to the store. So they're standing in the line, and there was this lady behind them, and Jasia says, hello. She says, hi, right? And Jasia runs over to her and gives her a hug. And this lady begins to weep.
Mm.
She starts weeping. She's like, you've made this old lady feel so special today. Thank you for your hug. And
Jasia has a way of doing that.
She does have a way of doing that.
Yeah. That's good.
One of the things that's happened through this whole process is that Sue and I have gotten notes from people that we have touched their lives, and they don't even know and understand how we touched their lives. But they said that you have been a blessing in our life over the years, and we never knew if we did anything. And so just even a note yesterday just really blessed us and stuff like that in terms of that. And it's one of those situations there. Sometimes you're doing things you don't even know you're doing.
Yep.
And as long as you're trusting in God, I think it's a matter of just being yourself and being that way, that God is just using you. It could be
Amen.
For years, and blessed by the many people that have been encouraged by our faith, but we know our faith is weak.
Yep.
We know God's faith.
Yep. Amen.
I couldn't sit down. I'm a witness to work that our elder Faye Vance Kozlovich, he shared with us in humility. I actually got the introduction to MITRE Corporation, where I now work, through Vance. Vance has served as one of the officers for that corporation. Multi-billion dollar corporation. They gave a retirement celebration recognition for him. And the CEO of that corporation said that it's not just the technical expertise, ability that he bought that would be his legacy for the corporation, but it would be the culture that he left behind there. And I know that that culture that he left behind would certainly be the spirit of Christ.
Amen.
And so we have it in our midst.
Yeah. Amen.
I'm just thankful to be a part of this, this
community. There's been a number of times I wish we all could have gone to your retirement party, dance. So, but thank you for sharing that. We need to hear that. Well, let's all stand.